This article is titled "Your Brain Craves Protein and Muscle," with the subtext, "Not enough people are talking about protein's role in maintaining a healthy brain." I just released article number 2 about protein titled "You're Not Too Fat, You're Under-Muscled," where I present the idea that we should focus more on having healthy muscle more than having just tunnel vision on losing fat. For this third protein-focused article, let's talk about protein, muscle, and exercise's benefits on alertness, mood, and the brain in general. I'm mixing those three together because, as we discussed in the last article, higher protein intake generally suggests more muscle mass, and of course, exercise means more healthy muscle. Ample protein appears to be really important for the brain. I recently posted this study above finding an association between protein intake and reduced risk for depression. It says, when the proportion of calories intake by protein increased by 10%, the prevalence of depression was significantly reduced. The low protein intake groups had significantly higher risk for depression than the normal protein intake groups. Another 2020 study concluded that total protein intake and protein intake from milk and milk products might reduce the risk of depressive symptoms in U.S. adults. Of course, we eat protein for the amino acids it contains, and those amino acids are important precursors of neurotransmitters, especially in the brain. As just one example, maybe you're aware of the amino acid tryptophan being the precursor to serotonin. A small study analyzing subjects who slept at a sleep lab found that those who ate protein rich in the amino acid tryptophan were more alert in the morning, likely due to improved sleep quality. With that in mind, how does protein consumption play out for people's brain function as they age? According to a March 2020 study, compared with the healthy elderly, patients with dementia have significantly lower protein intake. And lower protein intake of patients with dementia is reported to be associated with severe dementia. Drawing on multiple papers, the authors of that 2020 study explain, nutritional epidemiology has shown the importance of protein intake for maintaining brain function in the elderly population. The levels of protein intake in aged people are positively associated with memory function, and elderly people with high protein intake have a low risk of mild cognitive impairment. On the flip side, there are multiple studies like this one from 2018 that find an association between lower cognitive functioning and lower muscle strength and muscle mass. A clinical trial even found that snacking on high-protein foods in the afternoon improves appetite and satiety in adolescents, while beneficially influencing aspects of mood and cognition. A 2021 study out of China also found that kids on a higher-protein diet had better math scores. I'd be really interested to see some studies on the effect of diets with differing macronutrient composition on pro-gamers' performance. There are very few gamers past the age of 31, and a study from PLOS ONE titled "Over the Hill at 24" suggests that once you hit 25, you're pretty much too old to be a pro-gamer, because that is when reaction times start to wane. Maybe gamers would benefit from a more protein-rich diet. Actually, a randomized controlled trial looking at the effect of a high-protein meat diet on cognition found that those people in the group getting the high-protein diet improved their reaction time significantly compared to the usual protein diet group. Maybe gamers themselves have already picked up on the importance of protein, because a 2023 article titled "What Do Gamers Eat?" alleges that gamers eat too much meat, according to a 2021 German study. One other important aspect of day-to-day cognition is your level of alertness. You might have an IQ of 135, but if you need a coffee to wake up, a coffee to get through the post-breakfast slump, another coffee to get past the post-lunch slump, and another coffee to get past the midday slump, maybe your brain isn't performing that well. There's a lot of factors to a situation like that, but when it comes to protein, one thing you should know about is a neuropeptide called orexin. Almost 2 years ago, I made a video titled "Why You're Always Tired," where I talk about the orexin neuropeptide system and how in general you can expect things that increase orexin signaling to raise alertness. Unsurprisingly, things like exercise, caffeine, fasting, low-carb diets, and weight loss all increase orexin signaling. Personally, I found that when I eat just a bit too many carbs, it reliably makes me tired, and a ketogenic diet or fasting reliably gives me more stable energy. I just mentioned in that video that not only do dietary amino acids themselves stimulate action of the orexin system, but if you eat ample protein with your carbs, you can lower the alertness blunting effect of carbs. One thing I didn't point out in that video is how protein's influence on hormones leads to greater orexin signaling. To make this simple, insulin and glucagon are two hormones in the body that have kind of opposite functions. Insulin makes you store energy from food, and glucagon helps you burn food for energy. Higher levels of glucagon are associated with more alertness, and ingesting more protein leads to a greater secretion of glucagon. A 2011 randomized trial on undergraduate students demonstrated positive short-term effects of a high-protein breakfast on mood while enhancing vigilance and decreasing distractibility. When you feel like you need another coffee now to peel yourself off the floor, you could try eating a hunk of lean protein first. Ingested proteins actually elevate amino acid levels in the blood and brain on a timescale of just tens of minutes. The brain craves muscle and exercise. So contracting muscle is a major source of neurotrophic factors. Neuro meaning brain and trophic meaning growth. So muscle contraction produces brain growth factors. This paper explains that the literature suggests that sarcopenia and cognitive decline share pathophysiological pathways, meaning that the process that is having older people lose their muscle is also degrading their brain. What many people don't realize about muscle is that it's not just a bunch of rubber bands that get bigger if you lift weights. The muscle is an endocrine organ. Stimulating the muscle with exercise facilitates the release of proteins called myokines that have endocrine and cell signaling functions. Myokines are fantastic for health. They help you regulate your weight, lower your inflammation, and even improve cognitive function. Dr. Fabio De Montes gave a talk titled Myokine-Based Interventions to Contract Muscle and Brain Aging, where he presents yet another way exercise is good for the brain and eyes. His work shows quite simply, exercise is a stress on the muscle, and as a result of the muscle responding to this stress, myokines are released. These myokines have the eventual effect of protecting the retina and brain from aging. In a September 2016 issue of Time magazine, Dr. Mark Tarnopolsky said, "If there were a drug that could do for human health everything that exercise can, it would likely be the most valuable pharmaceutical ever developed." In his lecture, The Real Reason for Brains, neuroscientist Daniel Wolpert says, "We have a brain for one reason and one reason only, and that's to produce adaptable and complex movement. There's no other reason to have a brain." He illustrates this with the example of a sea squirt. Early in its life, the sea squirt has a nervous system that allows it to move around so it can find a nice rock to attach itself to. Once it achieves that, it will spend the rest of its life there with no need to move. So the first thing it does after it arrives on the rock is it digests its brain for energy. Maybe brains like it when we justify their existence by moving our bodies around. Dr. John Rady wrote a book called Spark that explains all the ways exercise is good for the brain. One mechanism highlighted in the book is how exercise encourages the secretion of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Again, neuro means brain and trophic means growth. John Rady calls this brain growth factor miracle grow for the brain because it literally makes the brain grow. Rady writes in his book that early on, researchers found that if they sprinkled BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, onto neurons in a petri dish, the cells automatically sprouted new branches, producing the same structural growth required for learning. A 2013 study in the Journal of Sports Science and Medicine found that just 20 to 40 minutes of aerobic exercise increased BDNF in the blood by 32%. Another article says that many of the beneficial effects that come from exercise may be due to exercise's connection to orexin A, that neuropeptide we discussed earlier. In a presentation of Dr. Christian Rands, she presents data showing that walking just 10,000 steps a day cuts your risk for dementia in half. Exercise being fantastic for the brain and for healthy brain aging is very well established. Dr. Rand's presentation outlines many of the ways exercise, particularly aerobic exercise, is good for the brain, but if you're interested in the basics, you should check out this presentation by Dr. John Rady that I linked in the article. But hold up, isn't protein bad for longevity? Despite the various data showing that better cognitive performance and better health outcomes for elderly people with more protein, David Sinclair and other people have popularized this idea that restricting protein makes you live longer because it reduces activation of something called mTOR. This mTOR is basically a signaling pathway that encourages growth, and there are some papers that suggest that reducing mTOR activation increases longevity in certain non-human organisms in the lab. So to live longer, Dr. Sinclair recommends reducing protein intake to reduce mTOR activation. However, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon points out in an episode of the Mark Bell podcast how this simplistic logic doesn't really make any sense. Consider these different points. Sufficient intake of high-quality protein is important for maintaining muscle mass. Having healthy muscle is well known to be important for longevity in humans. The elderly actually require more high-quality protein because as you age, your ability to utilize the protein for muscle growth and maintenance diminishes. Then, while protein activates this bad mTOR, mTOR is actually the key trigger for inducing muscle protein synthesis and building your muscle. Further, exercise is well known to be important for longevity in humans, as you've probably heard. But exercise itself stimulates mTOR. And there is no actual data in real-life humans proving this idea that decreasing mTOR activation through protein restriction extends lifespan. If we should reduce mTOR activation to live longer, then we should be sedentary people with low muscle mass. However, we know from actual human data that that would decrease your lifespan. There's a lot more to this protein decreases longevity myth, and I think this idea is pervasive enough that I was planning to dedicate an entire post to it. So if you have a chance, go to the article and click yes or no on the poll at the bottom that's asking, had you heard of this idea that protein is bad for longevity before?